Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and in this hour, sitcoms. Later on, an episode of My Little Margie from 1955. But right now, Lou Parker and Frances Langford star as John and Blanche Bickerson in a CBS broadcast of The Bickersons. This first heard on July 17th, 1951.
And now, Philip Morris presents Frances Langford and Lew Parker, starring in Philip Rapp's humorous creation, The Bickersons. Produced and broadcast, transcribed from Hollywood. And now here is John Bickerson as his other self, Lew Parker.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening. Before we engage in our weekly marital bout, I'm very happy to announce that the response to Frances Langford's offer to sing songs for the GIs has been overwhelming. Did you hear that, Frances?
Yes, I did, Lou, and it's very gratifying.
Well, in order to take care of the request, Franny, you're going to have to dedicate your song tonight to all the boys at the Letterman General Hospital in San Francisco. To a man, they want to hear Somebody Loves Me.
I'd love to do it for them, Lou. So with the help of Tony Romano and his orchestra, this is for all the boys at the Letterman General Hospital.
Somebody loves me. I wonder who he can be. Somebody loves me. I wish I knew. Who can it be? Worries me. For every guy that passes by, I shout, hey, maybe you were meant to be my ever-loving baby. Somebody loves me. I wonder who. Maybe it's you. Somebody loves me. I wonder who. Maybe it's you.
Now here are Frances Langford and Lew Parker as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon Is Over. A minor accident can sometimes be a blessing in disguise. Witness the change in John Bickerson as he ministers to poor Blanche, who is suffering from an ankle sprain.
John, dear.
What do you want now?
Don't be short with me, darling.
I'm not short. I'm exhausted. What do you want?
My ankle is killing me. You better call Dr. Hersey.
You don't need a doctor, Blanche. Your ankle will be fine once you get out of bed and walk on it.
I don't think I can walk on it, John.
How do you know? Till you test it. Go on, kick the cat a few times and see how it feels.
Stop it. I should have called Dr. Hersey last night.
Blanche, I've done everything for your ankle that a doctor would have done. Didn't I sit up till 2 o'clock in the morning massaging it with chicken fat?
Chicken fat. You and your insane remedies.
What do you want from me, Blanche? I can't keep waiting on you hand and foot. If I'm late for work, I'll lose my job.
You think more of your job than you do of me.
Blanche, I'm late. I stayed up half the night taking care of you. Now I gotta rush to the office and get to sleep. Work.
I call Dr. Hersey, John?
What do you want that horse doctor for? He can't help you.
He can, too. He took very good care of Louise Shaw when she had her baby, and he can do the same for me.
Blanche, aren't you expecting a little too much of a sprained ankle?
Don't be so funny. Dr. Hersey's a good doctor, and you know it.
Fine doctor. No matter what's wrong with you, he says take two aspirins and call me first thing in the morning.
John, I wonder if you're jealous of Dr. Hersey.
I'm not jealous, Blanche. I'm just suspicious of a doctor who gets presents from an undertaker.
You'll be sorry if you don't let me call Dr. Hersey, John. I'm sure my ankle's broken.
I won't be sorry. I mean your ankle isn't broken. There isn't even a bruise. I'm going, Blanche.
But what about the cat?
What about it?
Did you fix him his breakfast?
No, I didn't fix him his breakfast. There's nothing wrong with his ankle. Let him fix it himself.
Take a minute.
What'll I give him?
Just give him a dish of cottage cheese and mix in a couple of raw eggs.
Eggs? Blanche, why does the cat have to eat eggs at $1.10 a dozen?
They're good for him. Eggs make his coat glossy.
Well, these leftover enchiladas are good enough for him.
Will they make his coat glossy?
Yeah, they'll put a shine on his pants, too. Is there any other little thing you'd like me to do, Blanche? You want the windows cleaned or something? I've only got almost three minutes before I'm due at the office, you know.
I'll manage now.
Fine.
John?
What is it now?
I'm worried about the back door. The hinges are loose.
They're not loose. I fixed them with scotch tape this morning.
Well, that won't hold. And with you out of the house, I'm worried.
What are you worried about?
Well, suppose some prowler breaks in here and finds me and carries me off.
It'll serve him right. Bye, Blanche.
Come in. The door's open. Oh, hello, Clara.
Blanche, aren't you ashamed to still be in bed at 2 p.m? I've been up an hour already.
I sprained my ankle last night. I can't walk.
Oh, that's terrible.
Doesn't hurt too much now.
Good. Then could you go over and keep an eye on my kids while I'm shopping?
What's the matter with you, Clara? I told you I can't get out of bed.
Oh. Well, as long as you're going to be in, I'll send the kids over here.
No, you won't. I'm expecting Dr. Hersey any minute.
Dr. Hersey? Maybe I better leave before he comes.
Why?
We don't use him anymore since he gypped us when little Ernie was born. Charged us $75.
That doesn't sound unreasonable.
Ernie was no $75 baby. He only weighed 4.5 pounds.
My, that's almost as expensive as a rump roast.
Well, we never paid him. But listen, Blanche, with you laid up like this, who's taking care of the house for you?
John is.
It sure looks it.
He'll manage fine when he's had time to straighten out everything. He's even coming home early to cook my dinner for me.
Can John cook?
You should see him.
All right, I'll bring Barney and the kids over at 6.
Well, I didn't mean
to... Oh, it's no trouble. I told you a million times, Blanche. Anytime my sister needs me, I'll be there.
Around dinner time. We'll see you then. Come in.
Well, now, little lady, what's happened to you?
Oh, hello, Dr. Hersey. You remember my sister Clara.
Indeed I do. Haven't seen you in some time, Mrs. Dollop. How are you?
Very well.
And how is little Barney?
You mean Ernie. Barney's my husband.
Well, excuse me for changing the subject, but would you pass me that glass of water, Dr. Hersey?
Oh, certainly.
Thank you.
Ernie's fine. He's 3 now, you know.
Yes, I know. 3 years, 2 months, and 15 days, to be exact.
Quite a memory you've got.
Oh, not at all. I think back to it on the first of every month.
Well, don't stand there. You're a doctor. Whack her on the back.
I'm all right. Just went down the wrong way. Clara, if you've got shopping to do, why don't you just...
I was just leaving. Goodbye, Blanche.
Goodbye, Clara.
Now then, what's your problem?
Oh, I tripped on the stairs last night and hurt my ankle.
Well, you better let me have a look at it.
Pretty bad, isn't it? Well, isn't it?
No, I guess you're fortunate. There isn't a thing wrong with it.
Of course there is. It hurts.
Well, it may be a bit tender, but there's absolutely no damage. My advice to you is to get up and walk around on it, and you'll forget about it in an hour.
I don't want to forget about it. I mean, I think I better stay in bed a day or two and give it a chance to heal.
Well, you're the doctor.
Would you mind putting a bandage on it?
Bandage?
Just so John feels he's getting his money's worth.
Hold your foot up.
You know, Doctor, I thought it was going to be heavenly spending a few days in bed, but just between us, it's gotten a little dull already. Wish we had a television set.
Say now, that reminds me. They're delivering my new set today. I was going to trade it in on my old one, but, well, you can have it if you like.
Really?
Oh, but we couldn't take it, Dr. Hersey.
Well, why not? They hardly give me anything on a trade-in.
Well, I insist that we at least pay you what they offered on trade-in.
Well, if you insist.
It's a deal. How much did they offer?
$73.24. Call it 73 even.
Oh. Well, just add it to your bill for this call and send it to John's office.
All right, Mrs. Pickerson. Yeah. How does the bandage feel?
Wonderful. Now, it really feels like a sprained ankle.
Yes. Well, I'll just write out this prescription and we'll be all through.
Oh, good. Then I'll have something else to show John.
Oh, really, Mrs. Pickerson? Why do you need all these things to show John?
Well, you know, he's the jealous type and he didn't even want me to send for you.
Oh, I can't believe that he'd be jealous of me.
Well, he is. You should hear the things he says about you.
What things?
Oh, all sorts of crazy things, like no matter what's wrong with the patient, you tell him to take 2 aspirin and call you in the morning. And, Dr. Hersey, why are you tearing up that prescription?
Hello, Pickerson.
Hello.
Hey, you really ought to start coming in earlier, fella. The old man's bound to notice it sooner or later.
Did he come in yet?
He just went out for lunch. Hey, how's the wife's ankle?
Same way. I haven't slept a wink in for 5 nights.
Still can't walk, huh?
Not a step. I'm getting housemaid's knee from waiting on her. Where's my samples?
Under your desk. You going out on your route now?
Yeah. Why?
Nothing, only I wish you'd remember to take that apron off. You look like a Fuller Brush woman.
How would you like a punch in the nose, Marvin?
Oh, I'm just kidding, Bickerson. No need to get sore here. Here's your mail.
Throw it in the basket. Probably just bills. Wait a minute. Let me look at those letters. Might be something there for my draft board.
You can't get off that easy. Here. Hey, you better pay that one. They'll really shut off your lights,
can't
you know.
Can't you keep your big nose out of my mail?
Sorry.
Here's one from my wife's doctor. She buzzard couldn't even wait till the first of the month. Enclosed fine bill for 78.
Hey, Bickerson. What happened? Bickerson, talk to me. Talk. Don't move. I'll get you a little bourbon and water.
Never mind the water.
What's wrong? What's wrong? What happened?
One visit and that medical thief sends me a bill for $78. $78.
Take it easy, Bickerson.
That quack has no right to charge me $78. There's nothing wrong with my wife but a measly sprained ankle. Where's my hat?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to make him reduce this bill. No doctor's going to charge me $78 for fixing my wife's ankle.
You can't bargain with a doctor.
Well, then I'll force him to take out her appendix.
Hello?
Dr. Hersey, this is Blanche Bickerson. Did you send the bill to John's office like you promised?
Yes, I did. Why?
Well, he hasn't mentioned it, and I was wondering if he got it. Did you add on the $73 for the television set?
Well, certainly. You know you can trust me, Blanche. Oh, hello, Bickerson.
That's my wife. I want to talk to her.
Oh, no, it's just a patient with gallstone attack.
Hello?
Take 2 aspirins and call me back in the morning. Now, what's on your mind, Bickerson?
I just got your bill.
Well, and you promptly dropped in.
I nearly dropped dead. $78. For what? It isn't worth it.
Oh, now, calm yourself, Bickerson. It isn't a lot of money when you consider the entertainment values.
What?
That $78 entitles you to many an evening's fun.
What's that got to do with you?
Now, look here, Bickerson. Anytime you're bored and think it's too expensive, I'll be glad to relieve you of your burden.
Now it comes out. I never did trust you, Hersey.
I don't see what you're complaining about, Bickerson. You got the best part of the bargain. That's no hunk of junk sitting in your bedroom, you know.
Well, thanks.
Maybe a little banged up in spots, but on the whole, in fairly good condition. Those legs are hand-rubbed.
Nobody asked you to rub them.
Maybe not, but it makes them last longer. I suppose you'd rather I left the job for you.
Yes, I would.
Well, there's still plenty to do if you're some ambition.
What did you say?
I said there's still plenty to do if you have some ambition.
There is, huh?
Yes, how about a good shellacking?
How would you like a good shellacking?
Oh, I had enough of this, Bickerson. If you don't like the television set, bring it back.
If I don't like the what?
The television set I sold your wife. The one with the hand-rubbed legs.
Cecil. That's why the bill was $78.
Oh, did Mrs. Bickerson tell you about it? Oh, I guess she's saving it for a surprise.
Yes. That little devil.
Oh, you're going to really enjoy that television set. And you got it just in time.
I did, huh?
Yes, I understand there's going to be a big fight tonight.
You can count on that, Doc.
Oh, it isn't so terrible, Clara. I needed the rest anyway. And John has been a perfect angel.
Well, isn't that nice?
He doesn't growl anymore, and he's forever bringing home flowers. Honest, you'd think it was my funeral. He's so agreeable.
Well, isn't that nice? My Barney's got no more feeling than a rattlesnake.
Well, isn't that nice? I can hardly wait for John to get back. I've got some things for him to do.
Oh, what did John say when he found out about the television set?
You only live two blocks away. Didn't you hear him?
He got mad.
Only for a minute. But fortunately, my ankle began to hurt and he shut up like a deer. I better get back in bed, Clara. John will be home any minute and I don't want him to know I can walk around. Maybe he won't be so nice to me.
Well, don't be a fool and let on. Is your ankle black and blue?
It was, but it's fading now. I have to keep knocking it with a heavy spoon. Oh, I hear him coming now. Good night, dear. I'll call you tomorrow.
Oh, when am I going to get some sleep?
Is that you, John?
Who are you expecting?
What?
Nothing. Here's the stuff. Oh, I've got to get my clothes off.
Where'd you pick up that filthy, wet bar rag?
It's not a bar rag. It's my shirt. Had to mop up the floor in the drugstore.
What happened?
I bent over to tie my shoelace and one of the straps broke on my bourbon holster.
John Bickerson, you didn't wear that thing down to the drugstore.
Who didn't?
I can't believe you put it off.
I never take it off. Where's the funnel, Blanche?
Funnel?
Yes, funnel. I want to wring my shirt out in a bottle.
John, you're not...
No, I'm just going to put the light out in the bathroom.
Well, I'd better set the alarm. He has to get up so early, poor thing. Where's my bed jacket? John? John? Now, what's he doing in there? John?
What's the matter? What's the matter, Blanche?
Come on out of there.
Come out of there. What happened?
You went in there to put out the light and you started snoring like a suction pump.
Put out the lights, Blanche. Good night.
Aren't you going to doctor me?
Blanche, there's nothing more I can do for your sprained ankle. Take an aspirin and go to sleep. I'm exhausted.
What did you do with the stuff from the drugstore, John?
It's on your night table.
You didn't bring everything.
Brought everything.
You got the liniment and the aspirin, the hot water bottle. But where's the elastic ankle bandage?
Isn't it there?
No.
Must have forgot it.
Go back and get it.
Can't. Drugstore's closed.
My ankle pains terribly.
I'll get your bandage in the morning.
What good is that? How do I know it'll still hurt in the morning?
I'll twist it. Please, Blanche, you can get along without the bandage. Just let me get a couple of hours' rest.
Poor thing, I'm sorry, John. You really must be exhausted.
Dead.
You want to go to sleep?
Yes.
All right, dear. Make me something to eat.
Eat? I made you something to eat an hour ago. I made you dinner 2 hours before that. You've been eating all night like you were condemned.
Don't shout at me. I'm an invalid.
Okay. What do you want?
I don't want anything.
I didn't mean to holler. I'm just tired. Shall I warm up those eggs again?
No. They were too hard, and I can only eat soft-boiled eggs.
Well, I can't make them any softer. I boiled them for 20 minutes, and they still didn't get tender.
Never mind. I'm not too hungry anyway.
Can I go to sleep now?
Yes, dear.
Put out the light.
In a minute.
Blanche, what are you doing?
I'm fixing my face. I have to get ready for bed, don't I?
You've been in bed 5 days. Every night, you cream your elbows, spray your chin, roll your neck, just when I try to get some sleep. Put out the light.
I haven't finished my face yet.
Your face is finished.
No, it isn't. I have to let this grease pack set for 10 minutes, otherwise it has no effect.
Grease pack?
It's guaranteed to make you beautiful in 5 treatments. This is my 4th.
It is, huh?
Yes.
Boy, that 5th treatment must be a pip.
Oh, that's too bad about you, John Bickerson. Maybe your other girlfriends don't have to use face cream.
I had to open my big mouth.
What a fool I am. I go through torture to look good for you, and you reward me with insults.
What torture?
I just wish you had to spend a whole day under a permanent wave machine or have your eyebrows done.
Why do you have to wave your eyebrows?
I don't wave my eyebrows. I have them plucked.
What for?
Because it sets off my eyes and improves the lines of my face.
Your eyes are offset enough, and you got plenty of lines in your face. You don't have to pluck your eyebrows for me.
Yes, I do.
You do not. I like them the way they are, nice and bushy.
That's a left-handed compliment if I ever heard one.
Well, I'm left-handed. Throw away that stuff and let me get some sleep.
I notice you never complain about Gloria Gooseby's makeup.
Now, don't start with Gloria Gooseby.
She has to struggle out of 12 pounds of cosmetics before you can even get close to her.
I always get close to her, and she never struggles.
What?
I mean, I hate the sight of Gloria Gooseby, and you know it.
You made an absolute fool of yourself the way you followed her around at her cocktail party.
I wasn't following her. She was dragging me. She picked up a martini glass I hadn't finished yet.
Oh, sure. Bet I could have the men tagging after me, too, if I could afford the clothes she wears.
Your clothes are better than hers.
That's what you say.
If you want to know something, the dress she wore that night had a big rip in it.
Oh, you were seeing things.
I know, but she wore it just the same. Now, put out the lights.
Until you promise to get me a new dress.
Blanche, how can you even think of new dresses after the way you've been squandering my money?
I don't spend a penny on anything except bare necessities.
Since when is a broken-down television set a bare necessity?
But it was a bargain.
$73 for that piece of junk?
It's not a piece of junk. It's practically brand new, and it has a giant-size, life-size, 3-inch screen.
You had to have a television set. Why couldn't you buy a decent one with a 20-inch screen?
What would we do with a 20-inch screen in a 19-inch apartment?
I don't know, and I don't care. How much longer are you going to be with that grease pack, Blanche? I must get a few minutes' sleep.
I'm finished now. Good night, John.
Good night.
It wouldn't hurt you to kiss me good night, you know.
It hurts.
It's funny how 7 years of marriage can change a man.
Mm.
Before we were married, you'd stand in my living room every night and pucker up your lips the minute I came in. Why don't you do it now, John?
Because I'm too pooped to pucker.
See? You're getting to get crotchety again. I knew it couldn't last.
Blanche, what do you want? I've done everything a human being could. Why don't you let me sleep?
I want to ask you a question, John.
In the morning.
No, tonight. If I die from this sprained ankle, will you marry again?
Not tonight.
Why don't you answer me, John? Will you ever marry again?
Never. I hope my nose drops off if I ever marry again.
If you had it to do all over, would you marry me?
Sure, if I had to.
Are you sure I haven't been too much of a bother for you?
No bother.
You've been awfully sweet.
Hmm.
You're not angry because you've had to cook for me?
No, just go to sleep.
Well, I don't want to be a burden to you, John.
No burden.
You've been so affectionate up to now, and you seem to have changed.
No change.
Do you love me still?
I don't know. I never saw you that way.
Well, just tell me that you
listen,
love
Blanche,
me.
I'm not going to tell you anything. I have to get up at the crack of dawn and wait on you because you can't walk. Then I have to go down to work. Is that the phone?
I'll get it, dear. Hello? Hello? That's funny. There's nobody on the line. I wonder who that was. Why are you staring at me like that, John?
I thought you couldn't walk.
Walk?
Yes, walk. How come you leaped out of bed like an acrobat? I thought you had a sprained ankle.
Are you angry with me, John?
Yes, I'm furious. What kind of a dirty trick is that?
Go on, hit me with a heavy spoon.
Why did you pretend to have a sprained ankle?
Well, I just wanted a little sympathy from you.
Blanche, you're the most selfish woman in the world. You're always killing yourself to get my sympathy. Last year, you had your adenoids removed. 6 months ago, you had your tonsils taken out. 2 weeks ago, you had 5 teeth pulled. You'll run out of parts before I run out of sympathy.
I'm sorry. sorry, John.
What a trick. I ought to take you
over
my...
Don't you dare threaten me, John Bickerson. I'm entitled to a little rest, too. I work just as hard as you do, and I never have any pleasure at all.
Okay,
I'm fed up with the way you carry on about every little thing. What harm have I done? Just because I turned you into a human being...
Okay, let's go to sleep and forget about it.
No, we won't. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You've had it come in for a long time. You think you're the only one who...
What's the matter?
My jaw can't talk.
You can't talk?
Mm-mm.
Lie still. Don't touch it. I'll call Dr. Hersey. Mm-mm. Now, don't be scared, Blanche. I'm sure it's only temporary.
Hello?
Dr. Hersey, this is John Bickerson.
Yes?
I think my wife has dislocated her jaw. She can't talk.
She can't move her jaw at all?
No. If you're in the neighborhood sometime next week, you might drop in. Good night. Good night, Blanche.
Good night, John.
Oh, what's the use?
In a moment, Francis Langford and Lou Parker will return for a curtain call. But first, may I make a friendly suggestion? You've heard the Philip Morris nose test. You've heard that Philip Morris is less irritating. Why not try that test? We believe you will find that Philip Morris is not only less irritating, but also more enjoyable, smoother, better tasting than any other cigarette. And now, once again, here are John and Blanche Bickerson as Francis Langford and Lou Parker.
Say, Franny, how are you coming along with your new picture?
Fine, Lou. Have you signed for one yet?
I was just going to tell you about that. Happened all because of this radio program, too.
Oh.
Last week, my wife was visiting a movie producer friend of ours, and she made him tune in our show. Right after the broadcast, my wife called me with the good news.
Lou, you mean...
Yep, she starts working tomorrow. Good night, Francis.
Good night, Lou.
Good night, everyone.
The Bickersons on Tuned to Yesterday from the 17th of July, 1951 on CBS. This is an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, if you lived in the greater Los Angeles area in 1955 and it was 8:30 at night, you could have tuned into the variety show, the KFI Radio Hour, news on KHJ with the State of the Nation, KMPC's religious news reporter, or the music of Sammy Kay on KABC. But what we'll hear next was pretty much your only other choice, and that was My Little Margie on KNX. This episode first heard on May 22nd, 1955.
And now, My Little Margie, starring Gale Storm and Charles Farrell.
Margie's father, Vern Albright, is a very social-minded person. He likes nothing better than a good time. Right now, he and his girlfriend, Connie, are preparing to go out for the evening against daughter Margie's wishes.
Dad, you've been nightclubbing every night this week. Don't you think of your health once in a while?
Nope.
Remember, you're not a kid anymore.
Well, that doesn't worry me. I found the secret of youth.
I know. You lie about your age.
Don't be silly.
Margie, we're fixing to go to the Club Capri tonight. Would you and Freddie like to come along? Oh, no thanks, Connie. That dance floor is too crowded. Remember the last time I went? I was waltzing with Freddie, and at the same time, I was doing a rumba with a guy in back of me.
I'd be glad to go to the nightclub with you, Connie.
Mrs. Odette, how did you know that we were talking about nightclubs?
A little bird told me.
A little bird? What was the little bird doing in our keyhole?
Mr. Albright, are you accusing me of listening at your keyhole? Why, I would never stoop to do a thing like that. I have to squat.
You're in such a gay nightclub mood.
On account of what happened to my shape. I used to have what they called an Indiana figure.
An Indiana figure?
A large South Bend. But if you take me nightclubbing, I'll go with Cinderella.
Well, if you find a Prince Charming, let me know, Mrs. Odette, and we'll make it a foursome. What do you say, Margie? Sure you won't come along?
No, not tonight, Dad, thanks. Freddie's coming over to talk to me about something very important.
Something important?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I don't know. He just said he had something important on his mind.
Oh, I wish I knew what it was. I can't imagine Freddie having anything important on his mind. Come to think of it, I can't even imagine Freddie with a mind. Having a good time, Connie?
Oh. Very much. And what a dinner.
Oh, it was
was marvelous.
Oh, I'll say.
I'm glad you're finally relaxing, sugar. For the past half hour, you've had a puzzled look on your face. Is anything the matter?
Oh, not really. I was just wondering what Freddie wanted to talk to Margie about. What could be so important?
Maybe their future together.
Their future together?
Don't be so astonished, Ben. After all, it's possible. Freddie's been going with Margie for a long time now.
Okay, I'll give him a pension.
There's nothing strange about Freddie wanting to get married. Human beings do those things, you know.
Since when is Freddie a human being?
Why are you always so dead set against the boy?
Because things always go wrong when he's around. He crossed in front of a black cat the other day, and the cat's had bad luck ever since.
Well, don't get upset, Sugar Plum. I only said maybe he and Margie are getting serious. Naturally, I don't know for sure.
Oh, I'm probably being foolish, worrying about it. What could Margie possibly see in an nincompoop like Freddie Wilson anyway?
Who knows? Love is a strange thing. Don't you believe Margie could be happy with a boy like Freddie?
Well, maybe, if the boy isn't too much like Freddie.
It's very nice of you to sit with me while I wait for Freddie, Mrs. Odell.
I'm very happy to keep you company, Margie.
And besides, you can hear a lot better inside than you can at the door. Isn't that true?
Oh, bless you.
You know something, Mrs. Odette? I'm going to do you a big favor. I'm going to put two keyholes in our door. One for the key and one for you.
Oh, how wonderful. I'm going to see to it that you get a special award for that from my organization, Gossips Anonymous.
Special award?
Oh, yes. Our Distinguished Service Medal. It'll look very nice on you, Margie. It shows a radar antenna with the shape of a human ear. And below it is our motto, Super Duper Keyhole Snooper.
Hello, Mrs. Odette. Hi, Margie.
Hello, Freddie. You look worried.
Oh, it's a very important thing I have to tell you about. You see, I got a letter from my uncle and aunt, Mr. and Mrs. Freddie Wilson.
Your uncle's name is Freddie Wilson, too?
Yeah, I was named after him. We both have the same name.
Is that what you came to see me about, the fact that you and your uncle had the same name?
Oh, not exactly. You see, my aunt and uncle have been married for 25 years.
Gluttons for punishment, aren't they?
Mrs. Odette, please. Go on, Freddie.
Well, they want to go away on a second honeymoon to Niagara Falls. And they want to stay at Honeymoon Hotel, the same place they had their first honeymoon. But they can't get reservations.
Well, what's that got to do with you?
Well, they think I'm a big shot with influence, so they wrote to me asking me to help them. But I don't know anybody in Niagara Falls, so I thought maybe I'd come over and ask if you knew anybody.
No, I don't know a soul up there. I'm sorry, I wish I could help.
Why don't you ask me, Freddie? I've spent so many honeymoons at that hotel that now they give me a special rate.
Really? Gee, I didn't know that. How come you got married so many times?
Oh, I just did it for a lark. I gave all my husbands the bird.
Freddie, Mrs. Odette has been married so many times that now, when she walks down the aisle, they don't play Here Comes the Bride. They play I Love a Parade.
Freddie, when is his reservation supposed to be for?
A week from today.
Okay, give me that phone. Hello? Long distance? Get me the Honeymoon Hotel in Niagara Falls. Thank you. You've got nothing to worry about, Freddie. This is a thing. Hello? Honeymoon Hotel? This is Florence Odette. Do you remember me? Well, listen, I'd like a favor of you. I want you to reserve a suite for Mr. and Mrs. Freddie Wilson. Yes, yes. A week from today. It's their second honeymoon, so give them the same suite they occupied 25 years ago. Thank you. Goodbye. And I'll be seeing you, I hope. It's all fixed, Freddie. All they want is for the Wilsons to send them a telegram confirming this telephone conversation.
Okay, I'll send it for them.
I'll help you write it right now, Freddie.
Thanks. And thank you, Mrs. Odette. You're a great pal. I gotta hand it to you.
That's what my husband used to do. Every payday.
Thank you.
had a marvelous evening, Ben. Thank you.
Oh, so did I. And it's nice to have a girlfriend who lives in the same building with you. Saves that long ride home all alone.
I know. That's why I moved in here. I used to hate to bring you home and then ride back all alone.
Say, how about coming into my place for a nightcap?
All righty.
Sit down, Connie, and I'll fix a drink. Say, what's this note?
Let's see. Oh, it's not a note. It's a copy of a telegram to the Honeymoon Hotel in Niagara Falls. This is to confirm our phone conversation reserving honeymoon suite week from today. Signed, Mr. and Mrs. Freddie Wilson.
What? Oh, no. Freddie and Marge are getting married. Oh, Connie, you were right. This is terrible.
Say, what's all the shouting about?
Mrs. Odette, where's Marge and Freddie?
They went to a late movie.
Do you know anything about this telegram to Niagara Falls?
Sure, I helped make the reservation. You know what I think? It's charming.
Well, you know what I think? It's alarming. Well, thank you, Mrs. Odette. Now leave me, please. I'll see you later. Oh, thank goodness that old busybody is gone.
I heard that.
Mrs. Odette, good night and go to sleep. I'm plugging up the keyhole.
Selfish.
Oh, Connie, I've got to do something. The reservation's a week from today, isn't it?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I've got a week to stop that marriage.
And now back to My Little Margie. Well, Vern Albright is determined to prevent what he thinks is the forthcoming elopement of Margie and Freddie. He's finally figured out a plan and is all set to put it into operation. Connie drops in to see him.
Hello, Vern. Vern Albright, what in the world are you doing in that wheelchair?
Well, this is a part of my plan to break up that elopement. I'm going to convince Margie that I'm old and feeble and need her constant care and attention, and then she'll never leave me and marry Freddie Wilson. When she gets married, I want her to marry a man of the world.
Freddie's a man of the world?
I'm talking about this world. Now, Connie, promise me you won't give me away.
But, Vern, it's so unfair.
I just want to stop this elopement. Then later on, after Margie thinks it over, if she still wants to marry Freddie, I won't stand in the way.
Hello, Dad. Freddie and I were... Dad, what are you doing in that wheelchair?
Marge, you might as well face it. I've tried to hide it from you for a long time, but your father is just a broken-down old man.
Oh, Dad, that's ridiculous.
Oh, no, it's not. Oh, for years, I've been driving myself at a tremendous rate of speed, and now my motor is beginning to sputter.
Maybe you ought to have your valves ground.
Or your carburetor overhauled. Or maybe the trouble's in your hydromatic.
Personally, I think he just needs a change of oil. Well, I've got to run along. So long, old man.
Gosh, Dad, I can't figure out how this came on you all of a sudden.
Oh, that's the way life is, Margie. A man goes along full of bounce, and then one day he stops bouncing and he's through.
Same thing happened to an uncle of mine. He stopped bouncing and he was through, too. The circus fired him.
The circus?
Yeah, he was the India rubber man.
Freddie, this is no time for jerks. I mean, jokes.
You were right the first time. I tried to put this off, Margie, but I'm afraid father time has caught up with me. Margie, I'm just old and bent.
We're practically in the same boat. You're old and bent, and I'm young and broke.
Poor me. Poor, poor me. I need the care and attention of my little baby girl. Margie, say you'll never leave me. Say it.
Okay. You'll never leave me.
Margie, baby, you're all I've got left in the world. Hand me my medicine, baby. That stuff in that big bottle.
What is it?
A tonic. It's full of iron. Now hand me that little bottle.
What's that for?
Prevents rust.
Is there anything I can do for you, Mr. Albright?
Yes. Get lost. Get a footstool, Margie. Put my feet up on it. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good girl. Now read to me. Freddie, I'm sorry if I was harsh to you.
Oh, that's okay, Mr. Albright.
And when I go, I'm going to leave you the Empire State Building.
The Empire State Building? Gosh, do you own it?
No.
Then how can you leave it?
Well, I can't take it with me.
Come in, Margie. Sit down, dear, and have a cup of coffee. You look tired.
Oh, I'm deep. Oh. What a relief it is to get out of the apartment. Old Methuselah is driving me batty. For 3 days now, I've been waiting on him hand and foot. I don't get it, Mrs. Odette. He's no more feeble than I am. He's got some sneaky trick up his sleeve.
What kind of a trick?
I wish I knew. I haven't been out of the house in 3 days. I'm getting tired of standing around waiting for him to yawn.
Why do you have to stand by when he yawns?
After he yawns, I close his mouth for him.
Come in, Freddy.
Hi, Mrs. Odette, Margie. Look, I got a telegram from Honeymoon Hotel confirming the reservations for my aunt and uncle. It says, Mr. and Mrs. Freddie Wilson have reserved same suite which you occupied on your first honeymoon.
Ah, that's swell.
Oh, I wish I were a blushing bride going on a honeymoon again. Just think. Somewhere in this world is a selfish bachelor cheating me out of a trip to Niagara Falls.
Gee, Margie. Gee, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Mr. and Mrs. Freddie Wilson that were going on their second honeymoon were you and me?
You and I.
That's what I said, me and you.
Oh, look, Margie. Look across the courtyard. You can see your living room from here. Connie just came in to see your father.
Look at the way he jumped out of his wheelchair to greet her.
Oh. Wow, look at that kiss he gave her. Oh. That's no old man's kiss.
Looks like they're arguing about something now.
Hand me those field glasses. Yeah. I want to see what they're talking about.
See what they're talking about?
Yes, I read lips.
Here's the glasses. What are they saying?
Well, I'll just give you the highlights. It seems your father found a copy of that telegram Freddie sent to the Honeymoon Hotel, and he thinks the reservation was for you and Freddie.
Of all the fantastic ideas. What are they saying now, Mrs. Odette?
Well, I'll take another look. Ooh! Connie just said,
the Vernikins. What all is wrong with Freddie all?
And what did Dad say?
Censored. Margie, your father was just playing on your sympathy by pretending to be old and feeble. He figured you wouldn't leave him.
What a sneaky trick. Well, I'll get even with him.
How?
With a sneaky trick of my own. How else? So he thinks we're going to get married, huh? Well, I'll go him one better. I'll let him think we're already married. Freddie, let me have that telegram you just got.
You mean you're going to pretend that it's us that are going on a second honeymoon?
Yep.
Tell me, Margie, just in case anybody asks me, how long have we been married?
Long enough to have a baby.
A baby?
Yep.
Tell me another thing. As the father, I have a right to know, what do we have, a boy or a girl?
We have a boy. His name is Olaf.
Olaf? Why, that's the name of the janitor's baby, Olaf Jensen.
I know. I'm going to borrow him for a while.
Hello, Margie. I'm glad you're back. I'm just a lonely old man when you're away.
Dad, I'm afraid you're going to have to be lonely all by yourself for a while. Freddie and I are going away on our honeymoon.
What? Oh, Margie, you're not going through with this. You can't marry Freddie.
Oh, we're already married. This is going to be our second honeymoon.
Second honeymoon? What? How long have you been married?
Long enough to have a baby.
A baby?
Yes. Freddie, dear, bring the baby in to see his grandfather.
Hello, father-in-law.
Oh, Freddie, you lame brain, knuckle-headed...
Please! Not in front of the baby.
This is my grandson?
Isn't he cute, Dad?
He doesn't look much like Freddie.
Well, that's what I said. Isn't he cute?
Oh, well, Marge, as long as you're already married, I guess there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, you can stop being a lonely old man and start being a grandfather. Freddie and I have to do some shopping. You take care of the baby while we're gone.
You mean you want me to babysit?
That's one of the first duties of a grandfather.
But, Margie...
See you later, Dad.
You can't leave me alone with him. You keep out of this. All right. All right. I'm sorry. You know, you're a cute little fellow at that. You're an Albright, all right. You've got my eyes and nose. All right, I take it back. Come in. Oh, hello, Mr. Honeywell.
Hello, Albright. I just... Holy mackerel. Where'd that baby come from?
Haven't you ever heard of the birds and the bees?
Huh?
Mr. Honeywell, allow me to present my grandson. Grandson, this is my boss.
Grandson? You mean Margie and Freddie are married?
Yeah, she kept a secret all this time. You know, I...
What's he crying for?
I don't know. Probably hungry. When did you eat last, Kitty-Koo?
I had bacon and eggs this morning.
I mean the baby. Now, let's see what we've got in the refrigerator. Well, there's some salami here, liverwurst, hamburger, and some leftover chop suey.
Oh, no, babies don't eat that stuff.
It's so long since I've taken care of a baby. Well, maybe he's already eaten.
Well, then maybe he wants to be burped. Go on and burp him.
How?
Throw him over your shoulder.
Okay, but be ready to catch him. I think it's something else that's bothering him. Mr. Honeywell, stand by to assist.
Okay.
Powder.
Powder.
Diaper.
Diaper.
Pins.
Pins.
How does he look?
Pretty good. All right, you fix a mighty tidy-dighty.
Now what?
Oh, I think we've got to amuse him. They say the best way to make a baby stop crying is to make funny faces at him.
Well, go ahead, Mr. Honeywell. Make a funny face.
All right.
It worked.
Well, I haven't started yet. Wait a minute. I'll bet I know what it is. He probably wants a bath. Let's give him one.
Oh, he'll drown in the bathtub. We better stick him under the shower.
No. Well, let's bathe him in the sink.
Okay. Come on, little fella. Up you go.
There.
We're going to give you a bath.
All right. Don't tell him what you're going to do. It only scares him. Come on, baby. We're going to give you a B-A-T-H.
That's Freddy's son, all right. He can't even spell. Turn the water on in the sink. Well, I guess that's about enough.
That'll do it.
Okay, baby. In you go.
He likes it.
Feels good, huh? Okay. I guess you've had enough.
Now, look, I'll dry him off with this towel.
Not so hard. You're supposed to use powder. Here, sprinkle some of this talcum powder on him.
Okay.
He likes it. I guess it tickles him. Sprinkle some more on him.
Yeah.
Give him some more. Not in his mouth. Now he's got the hiccups.
There's only one cure for hiccups. I'll scare him.
Well, go ahead.
Boo! Where? He's cured.
Now I've got them. Well, Margie, I'm certainly glad everything is cleared up and you're not married to Freddy.
Well, if you hadn't been so quick to jump to conclusions and didn't play that trick on me, I never would have let you believe I had a baby.
Oh, well, it's all over. Now I'm going to pick up Connie and we're going to do the town.
Oh, come in, Mrs. Jensen.
Mr. Albright, little Olaf is crying ever since they take him home. So I bring him back for you to take care of him against the night, yeah?
No!
Dad, I'm afraid you can't get out of it. Mr. Jensen told me that if you don't take care of little Olaf, he's going to shut off our steam heat. Yeah, Mrs. Jensen?
Yeah.
Oh, well. You too, baby. Come to Grandpa Vern.
My Little Margie, starring Gale Storm and Charles Farrell, is based on characters created by Frank Fox and is produced and directed by Gordon T. Hughes. Freddy is played by Gil Stratton, Jr., and Mrs. Odets is Verna Felton. This program has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
My Little Margie, on Tuned to Yesterday from May 22, 1955 on CBS. That was an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast. And so closes this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.